It's good to be together, isn't it? It's been great to be together this evening as three churches gathering together to worship together, to pray together. What a wonderful privilege and blessing that was to be praying alongside one another. And shortly we're going to gather together for communion as well. Well, just for the next hour or so, I'm going to chat to you. No, genuinely, Peter and myself, when we were chatting about this service, we were like, it'll be about an hour. So I apologize in advance that we're going to go past that a wee bit. But when I came in, I seen a couple of teachers amongst us. And it's that time of year when we're coming up to school sports days. And this teacher at the front, he's even dressed in the shorts. He's ready to go for sports day. And up and down the country, we're going to have these days when kids are going to be out doing a three-legged race and things like that, and egg and spoon race and things like that. And parents and teachers will be saying probably the same thing to many children. I wonder, can you guess what they're going to say? I'll start you off. Winning isn't everything. It's a taking part that counts. I wonder, have you heard that phrase before? As someone who was always quite average at sports, I heard it a lot. And really it was said, something that was used to kind of ease my disappointment and not winning, kind of to spare me feelings of inadequacy. And I know across schools, particularly primary schools today, that all children in many schools receive participation medals. Have you heard of this? Participation medals, where everyone gets one just for having a go. Now, I don't know what you think of that. In one sense, it's kind of fair, but not fair in another. And for some of us, we can maybe make feel a bit uncomfortable about that. But what if I told you that as Christians, that it's the taking part that counts? It is the taking part that counts. It's the participation that matters. In order to help us gather our thoughts as we come to communion, we want to take just a few moments to consider a couple of verses. And they're found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 to 18. So if you've got a Bible with you, whether on your phone or in the book, please look it up and just kind of read. If you don't have one, don't worry, I'm going to read it out loud. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 to 18. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel, are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? The Apostle Paul is writing to a church in Corinth here, and he's actually not writing about a communion. He's writing about warning the people about the kind of relationships they have and the type of behavior that they're involved in. But just for a few verses in the middle of this chapter, Paul talks about communion. And as he talks about communion, he explains that communion is an act of participation. Communion is not simply just a physical meal. It's more than simply eating bread and drinking from a cup. We do that in our own homes day by day. We do a physical act of eating. But communion, when we take this bread and cup, it's more than that. And the word for participation here in this passage is actually a Greek word called koinonia, which is other passages it's translated as fellowship. In other passages it's translated as sharing. And Paul's really saying here that when we take this bread and this cup, that we are fellowshipping with Jesus, that we're sharing with Christ. Now, there's a couple of ways that you could understand this. One would be that we're participating with Jesus spiritually at this table as we gather, as if Jesus was here himself with us. And for the disciples who shared in that first communion meal, in that Passover meal, as Christ gave the bread and the cup amongst them. That was obviously a no-brainer for them. Jesus was physically with them, giving them the bread and cup. But for us, though Jesus is not here physically, it's the same for us now. Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." Now, that was in the context of church discipline and about accusations amongst brothers and sisters, but it stands true that wherever Christians are, whether you're on your own or whether you're in a group, there Christ is. Because in the heart of every believer, Christ is present by his Holy Spirit. Jesus also said in Matthew 28:20, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, indwells each and every one of us. So as we gather around this table, we as Christians bring Christ with us. So not only do we share this meal together as if Christ is here, like on that first communion, but did you notice how many times Paul in those few verses was using the word "we"? We're not only engaged with Christ at this meal, but we're actively engaging with one another. It's not to be passive. We're going to be engaged with one another, and this Holy Spirit plays a part again, because the Holy Spirit is what unites each of us. In fact, earlier on, I think it was Declan who mentioned, as he was sharing about the common bond that we have. The common bond is God's Holy Spirit. The bond and the union is between us is our faith in Christ. And when we take this meal, that's what reminds us of that relationship that we have with one another. For each of us who take this meal, we are saying, you and I are brother and sister in Christ. As Paul said, there's one bread and there's many of us, but we're reminded that though we are all different, we are one. Just as there's one bread, we are one. And right enough, if you think about who we all are, right enough, even I have an opportunity just to look out. What a motley crew. I meant to keep that in my head. Sorry, I've said it out loud. We are all very different, aren't we? A vast array of backgrounds, a range of stories, differences, and yet in Christ and through Christ we have a common bond, a common union, a common hope. And this meal reminds us of it. So as I said, this use of the word "we" also shows us that this is not a passive experience. It's not something that we're just going to do, like you would eat a meal at home for sustenance. It's not that. It's not passive. And Paul says it's a participation. So it's more than simply receiving. It's participating in it. So as we take these emblems, what is it that we are participating in? Now, I think this is where verse 18 of these wee three verses that we read can help us to understand a bit more. Because Paul says this, "Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar?" Well, what's Paul talking about here? Well, back in the Old Testament days, there was a job. It was a job of a priest. And the priest did all the sacrifice work. It was their responsibility and job to carry out the ceremonies, to make the offerings for the people. And as they did those sacrifices and made offerings, there was part of that sacrifice was reserved for them. But other parts were given to the everyday people. The worshippers, the ordinary worshippers, who they had parts set up for them. In other words, the worshippers who had no responsibility or job in the ceremony itself at the altar received some benefit of the sacrifice. So they didn't have any responsibility in the ceremony, in the sacrifice, but they received the benefit of the sacrifice. On the altar, God was doing the work of taking away the people's guilt. You can read about all these offerings and things they had to do in Leviticus. Removing guilt and forgiving sin. But the people were the ones who benefited from what God was doing. So fast forward, and we come to the cross, and the same thing is happening. Here at the cross, there is a sacrifice, the shedding of blood as represented by these cups, the breaking of a body as represented by the bread, God removing guilt, God forgiving sin. And now those who look to Christ as that offering, who look to Christ and accept Christ as that sacrifice, they're benefiting from what God has done through Christ. So though we have not had anything to do on the altar, we have not had to do anything on the cross ourselves, you and I get the benefit. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Jesus has prepared the meal, and we're the ones who get the benefit from it. You know, we just sang about it in one of our songs just a few moments ago. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. Just as those Israelites benefited from the sacrifice and participated in it through the eating of it, we benefit from Christ's sacrifice. And we participate in that sacrifice through the receiving of these emblems and through our salvation, which comes by faith. Earlier on in this same book, in chapter 1, verse 9, we see the same word for participation used for the first time in this letter. And it says this: God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In other words, you and I were called into the sharing, it's the same word, the sharing of Christ. We can now share in that sacrifice of Christ and receive from it. We, instead of being the sacrifice, we become the benefactors. We become the recipients of the grace and the forgiveness that's found through it. Remember that phrase we considered at the start, winning isn't everything, it's the taking part that counts. Well, now you can see that as Christians, not only do we participate with Christ, but actually we win. We win as well. We benefit, though we're not the ones sacrificed ourselves. We benefit through what God has done through Christ. I just want to share with you some of the benefits that we now enjoy because of Christ's sacrifice. We're created anew in Christ, Ephesians 2, verse 10. We're baptized into Christ and his death, Romans 6, 3. We're united with him in his resurrection, as in there's new life coming for us, Romans 6, verse 5. We'll be seated with him in the heavenly places, it's Ephesians 2, verse 6. Christ is formed within us. We've spoken about that already by his Spirit, Galatians 4, verse 19. He dwells in our hearts, Ephesians 3, 17. Christ is in us, 2 Corinthians 13:5. We are found in him. Believers gain Christ and are found in him, Philippians 3, verse 8 to 9. In Christ we're justified, Romans 8, 1. We're glorified, chapter 8, verse 30. We're sanctified, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. We're called, chapter 1, verse 9. We're made alive, Ephesians 2, verse 5. We're created anew, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're adopted, Galatians 3, 26. We're elected, Ephesians 1, verse 4 to 5. And I'd say we're elected, we're winning. You hear all those benefits, those things that we have received because Christ has been sacrificed. You might have been told at times in life that you're a loser. Well, let me tell you now, hearing all that, in Christ we are winners. In fact, Paul would describe us as more than conquerors through him who loved us. You know, maybe it would be better to rethink that sports day phrase and say it's a taken part that counts because Christ has won. All those benefits, all those things that we have received are all because Christ has paid for sin, he's defeated death, and he's been raised to life again. As we come to the table, we say, hallelujah. Praise God for Christ's sacrifice and now our participation in it. Let's pray together. Lord God, we want to thank you We praise you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. God, we thank you for his sacrifice. God, we thank you for his death. God, we thank you for how he went to the cross which was the altar, the place where all sin would be paid for. And God, where the punishment for sin would be paid. And God, the place where we can now find forgiveness. And God, where we find your mercy and grace. God, just as those Israelites, though they didn't have a part to play in the sacrifice, God, they were the recipients of it. God, how much more are we now the recipients of the salvation that's found in the one who went to the cross? God, as we gather around this table, as we take these emblems now, and as we hold this bread in our hands, and as we take it together, God, would you remind us not only of the union that we share with one another, but the union we now have with Christ, our great sacrifice. God, we ask us in his name and for his glory. Amen.